if one of the instructions in there in the self-analysis book say that if you get sick or you feel bad or whatever, when you're doing these self-analysis lists, then you should do the next to the last list, which is basically bringing you more into present time. And all of this pain and upset and misery and so forth, they're always back in the past somewhere. They're hung up in locks and secondaries and ingrams. And so by getting the person to recall incidents that were pleasant, fix their attention on a pleasant object near them now, basically you're having the person contact present time, causing it contact present time, and you keyed out or unhook these ingram chains and things. But self-analysis is a very, very powerful tool. People don't really understand what can be accomplished with it. I always try to tell people whenever they first start out in Scientology, they should do all the self-analysis lists, and they'll go through and they'll try. But one of the things that people don't realize, particularly whenever they're doing it by themselves, is that as you're contacting this bank, even with self-analysis, you are actually re-stimulating ingrams and secondaries and so forth. And all of this stuff is going to take your attention out of present time. You're going to have an ingram re-stimulated. You're going to feel sick, or you're going to have a headache, or things around you are going to start to go bad. And what people do is quit. They wait. They go until it gets a little bit painful, and then they rabbit. Now, rabbit's a term that's fairly easily understood. Is anytime something moves, they run like a rabbit. And that's what happens. They can't confront the mass and the force of the bank, and so they quit. Well, this is not the way to do it. If you look at the tone scale, you don't ever quit anything whenever when you're halfway through something. The way out is the way through, and particularly this is very true in self-analysis, because if you're reading the list, or you're doing the recalls, and you're going along doing this and the other thing, and you're starting to feel sick, or you get a headache, or something like this, and then they don't feel too good about it, and they quit. Well, that's the wrong place to do it. You know, pain and anger and antagonism is not the place to quit. Neither is boredom. If you just continue doing it, if you're in pain, you continue doing it, you're going to come up to anger, and you're going to be mad about the whole thing, and you're going to throw the book down, and you're going to be mad at everything. And you just keep on doing it. You keep on doing it. Pretty soon you get bored. And, oh, man, I don't know. I'm just so bored doing this. It's not doing any good. Rah, rah, rah. Well, don't quit there either. You just keep going. You just keep going. And then you'll hit something. You'll hit a little spot there we call a flat point. That means that the process is not producing any more change there. You have a cognition or realization, a new state of awareness about life. And you stop whenever you're in cheerfulness or exhilaration, or you're just laughing. You know, this is really funny. And it doesn't take very long. It usually takes the hardest to get somebody up from apathy up to anger or pain. That's the long haul. And then they quit as soon as they get into pain, or they don't feel comfortable or something like that. That's a wrong place to quit, with just a few more commands, or maybe another hour, another 20 minutes or something like that. They would come up to a cheerful point. Now, if you've sat down and you've just got to go to work, or you've got to do something and you've got to quit right there, and you're not at a flat point, one of the things you do is go to the next to the last list in the book there. The instructions tell you which one it is, and you recall those a few times, and it'll kind of key out the ingrams that you've keyed in by doing the recalls. And then the next day you'll start off on this. Now, one of the things that I must stress in doing self-analysis, because primarily this is a lecture intended to help people with doing the list on themselves, because many times there's not an auditor around, and just 40, 50 hours of self-analysis will make a marvelous, marvelous case change in a person. You can take somebody that is not responding very well to auditing. The reason they don't respond, considering that we have a good auditor, the reason they don't respond is because their case state case state is not high enough to where they can actually run some of these processes. And they just don't have enough free attention unit to look into any of this. And by running self-analysis, every time you recall something, you're getting a little bit of this attention units back. Now, let's say that a person would just arbitrarily say whenever they're born or when they started out, they have 10,000 attention units. Well, they get an Ingram, they lose 500. You know, they get a secondary, they lose another 700 or something. And they lose several thousand attention units like this. And every time they see something, they lose one little attention unit. Every time they get a lock on one of these things, they lose another attention unit. You look at the amount of times that a person's been tired or they didn't feel so good and something happened that reminded them of something that was bad before, or somebody upsets them or hollers at them, or they have a fight with their wife or their husband, or the kids don't come home. You look at a whole lifetime worth of this stuff and it starts to take away from all these 10,000 original attention units. And you'll find a person that maybe he's only got 100 out of 10,000. And he's not very capable, and he's pretty much dead at that point. He's much more dead than he is alive. But as if you go through these self-analysis, every time you recall one of these things, you'll get an attention unit back. And you call another one, you'll get another little attention unit. You know, these are not great, big, giant changes. You don't do two or three lists, and all of a sudden the whole world changes. This is a very slow, very gradual thing. One of the things that you notice is that your memory is just improving vastly. You start remembering people's names. You start remembering stuff that you hadn't thought about in 10 or 20 or 50 years. And it goes on and on and on like that. So, when you're doing self-analysis, you're not out there to just destroy the whole bank in one big fell swoop. You're not going to cure yourself overnight. But it's a very gradual thing, and I have to stress that you need to be predictable. You can't go do it an hour today and then not do it again for 6 weeks and then do another hour sometime. It's much better if you sit down every day. Every day is best, or 3 times a week at the minimum. Get yourself a little time. I don't care if it's 15 minutes, but you mark out yourself 15 minutes. If you're going to get better, you're going to have to do the work. And if you don't do the work, you're never going to get better. You're going to continue to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And hopefully a person has realized that when they come into Scientology, that they found the I Cause Church, and they're starting to learn more about themselves and life through this technology of the Prophet, Prophet LRH. And so what you want to do is set down yourself a little bit of time every day. Maybe it's, I don't know when you feel good, maybe in the morning when you wake up, it's when you feel the best, or maybe it's at noon after you eat, or maybe it's after you come home from work, or something like that. Well, instead of watching, you know, a half hour worth of soap opera or something, turn off the TV, go pick up the self-analysis book, and do 20 minutes of it. Do 20 minutes or 30 minutes of it. Do these things in regular sessions. It builds a lot of discipline. One of the things you're going to find is you go up the bridge and you start reaching for the operating immortal states, is that you're going to have a lot of attention. You're going to have a lot of self-control. You're going to have to be able to control and handle the bank. You're going to have to be able to do a lot of things. And you're going to start that off by just being a good auditor yourself. Now, if you were helping somebody else and they come up to you and says, well, you know, will you run these self-analysis lists on me? And you, yeah, sure, be here Monday at 5 o'clock, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock. And you would expect that person would be there, and you would be upset if they didn't. And so you want to give yourself the same break that you're going to give anybody else. You're the auditor, you're the counselor, and you're the client. So give yourself a break. And one of the ways that you're going to give yourself a break is setting yourself a schedule, whatever that schedule happens to be, if it's 15 minutes a day or 20 minutes a day or an hour a day, and you take that time every day, every time that it comes around, when it's your turn to go in session. It's not go off and have a few beers with the boys. It's not watch another episode of Star Trek or something that's not doing you any good. You want to go ahead and just take yourself by the hand and take yourself right on up the bridge. And if you don't do that, you'll never make it. Whenever you get on to the up in the higher levels, you're going to have a lot of confront. You're eventually going to have to confront the entire force and mass of this whole reactive mind that's taken you trillions and trillions and trillions of years to build up. Well, you don't enter a skyscraper by the 50th story, and you don't erase the bank in one shot either. You're going to have to take your time and do it regularly, and before you know it, you'll be up the bridge and doing just fine. So I stress that when you start off on this path to immortality, that you take it serious, you take yourself serious, and you spend a little bit of time every day or every 3 days or whatever, but you set yourself a schedule and you keep that schedule. At first it may be a little hard to keep, and you'll go through the analysis list and you'll feel great. Oh man, everything is wonderful and life is bright and shiny and you can't wait to get back to the next one. Well, it's not always going to be that way. Sometimes you're going to be running these things and, oh man, you're going to feel so tired and you just don't want to go on, and I don't know why I want to do this, and life is miserable. That is not the place to quit. That is not the place to quit. If you're a counselor and you had a client and he's laying there in a chair and whining and crying about how bad it all is and he just don't want to do it anymore, you wouldn't let him quit. You wouldn't leave him in the middle of some kind of a painful incident. You wouldn't even think of it. Well, give yourself the same break. You're going to learn to be a solo auditor. And you're going to learn by doing it on yourself. And you're going to help yourself, and you're going to help other people down the road. And you might as well start learning good habits now. And one of the best habits that you can get is to keep yourself regular sessions. Now, there's a little line in the auditor's code that says you promise to keep all pre-clear appointments once made. Well, and you'll find as you go up the OT levels in this immortality course, you're going to find that really the only thing that ever caused you any harm was your own violation of your own integrity. Almost always, you knew better. You knew better and went ahead and did it anyway, and then you got zonked. So this is a good place to start. Put your integrity back in. Just keep your integrity to yourself. You're the PC, you're the pre-clear, you're the client. And you're also the auditor. So you want to set yourself down and give yourself the best break that you can give yourself. And that means whenever you say, okay, I'm going to do this Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, that you show up Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and you do it. And this is the place where people fall off the bridge, particularly in the OT levels, particularly in ICAWS. Now, if we were in a huge organization and you didn't show up, and then there would be somebody on the phone calling you and finding out, how come you didn't show up for session? How come you didn't do this? How come you didn't do that? You know, they'd bring you in there and find out what was wrong, get it fixed, and get you moving. Well, in this one, because we're scattered all over the world, that's not going to happen too much. Whenever you have a few terminals doing most of the work, you have a few people carrying the load, and, you know, for example, I'm CSing, case supervising. That means going through the directing the auditors what to do in solo auditing, and I got 50 people. And it's real easy if somebody just doesn't write for 2 or 3, 4 days or a week for me to miss them. And so we have to keep our own integrity. We have to keep our own ethics in. If you don't think this stuff works, you shouldn't even be doing it in the first place. Don't even mess with it. Just throw the book down and go away. You're never going to make it out of the soup. But once you set foot on this bridge, you've got to keep going. You can't go do 10 hours of self-analysis and quit. There's just no way, because your life will just go to the bad almost immediately. So these are the basic things that I wanted to communicate to you about the self-analysis book and the self-analysis lists, is that they return attention units that were stuck in the past and then Ingram chains and all down the bank and all down the time track. you gradually get better and better. Don't look for just marvelous changes, and you know, overnight. But you'll find after you do these for a week or 2 weeks, and you look at yourself the way you were 2 weeks ago, and you look at the way you are now, man, you're not even the same person. And if you do them for a month or 2 months, it's hard to believe that you were in the baddest shape as you were when you first started. It's very much a maxim that a person cannot see what's above their level. They can only see what's at their level or below. So a person doesn't really have a very good idea of how good they can get until they start doing some of these auditing processes. And self-analysis is one of the very, very best things to do. It was used in the early days almost exclusively to take cases from beginning up to very, very high states where some of these very high-powered processes would bite and start producing these giant gains that Scientology is capable of. But don't get excited. Don't think it's all going to happen overnight. Set yourself a schedule. Do it religiously. This is your chance to get yourself out of the soup once and all and forever. So just do that. Continue on your path to spiritual freedom. Self-analysis lists are the most powerful thing that we have for the individual. And they work very quickly. They work very well. If you just keep on doing it, within a few months, you'll find yourself in an enormously improved case state. And you'll be very happy that you took yourself in hand and actually did all that stuff. So anyway, that wraps up this lecture, and I thank you again for listening, and we'll bid you a pleasant good evening.